I want to read for the sake of time just one verse, and then we're going to be all over this chapter today, looking at a thought that is found in this one verse of Scripture in chapter number 9. The Bible said in Psalm 107, verse number 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." I'd like to read that again, Psalm 107, verse number 9. "For he satisfieth the longing soul." You say, "Preacher, who is he?" Look at verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." That he is the Lord. Let me say this. He's the only one that can satisfy. The Bible said he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us today. Thank you, Father, today for your children, Lord, that are willing to be obedient and do what you would have them to do. God, today I know that as I approach this chapter in the Bible, God, that we need your help. Lord, we know that without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, we also know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. God, we ask you this morning to strengthen us, strengthen our families, strengthen our church, strengthen our faith, strengthen our fellowship. And I pray, Lord, today, God, that there's one among us lost, Lord, still sitting, walking in darkness, that this might be the day that they'd come under that precious flow, the blood of Jesus, that they would come in contact, our Lord, with the forgiveness that was bought and paid for at Calvary. I pray, Father, today that you would clothe us in our calling. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If I was going to title the message today, it would be this: He Satisfieth. He Satisfieth. I could wrap it up in one word if I was talking about my own testimony and just say, satisfied. Because I've met the one that satisfies. Amen. The Lord God Almighty. I want you to look with me at some things in this chapter that brings about that satisfaction in our heart and in our life. First thing I want to look at today that satisfies is the redemption that is through His blood. The redemption that is through His blood. The Bible said in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." Thank God, the Bible said in verse number 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Can I tell you, everyone that's redeemed of the Lord was redeemed with the same precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We're living in a generation that wants to believe that all religions are right, all steeples point up, and all religions point to God. But I tell you, the way to God is a blood-bought way. It's the Calvary way. It's the way that, my friend, we must come and be born again. We must come and trust Jesus to be our Savior. The Bible said in Ephesians 1 and 7, now if you have a modern version of the Bible, it probably won't say this, and I'll just say it like this. I'll try not to be ugly, but you have a modern version of the Bible. You really don't have a Bible. You'll just get you a King James Bible, amen. It won't leave out words like blood the way that some of the modern versions do. The Bible said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, in whom we have redemption through His blood," in Colossians 1:14, "even the forgiveness of sin." Hebrews 9:12 said, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place,
having obtained eternal redemption for us. I just want to stop and say there is no redemption apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for the blood. There's the redemption that satisfies through the blood. Let me give you several things about that blood. Number one, the blood purchased our forgiveness. The Word of God said in verse number one, He is good, His mercy endureth forever. You want to know how that God could have mercy on the likes of you and on the likes of me? How that God could set aside our sin and cover our sin? I'll tell you how. He looks at His Son. He looks at that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And because of the blood, God can forgive the guilty sinner of every sin that He's ever committed. The blood purchased our forgiveness. Secondly, look in this chapter, the blood purchased our freedom. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many can remember when you were in the hand of the enemy? Honey, you were in the hand of the flesh. You were in the hand of the devil. And you were in the hand of the world. But thank God there was a bigger hand come along one day and plucked us out of the hand of the enemy, because He had power through His blood that He might redeem us from the hand of the enemy. I tell you, I'm not in the hand of the enemy anymore. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. You say, preacher, what's that talking about? That's talking about a God, beloved, that purchased our freedom. We were in darkness and He brought us out into the light. We were chained in bondage to sin. And thank God, just like that maniac of Gadara, they couldn't keep him chained. But thank God, one day Jesus broke the chains of sin in your life and in mine and redeemed us by His blood. The blood purchased our forgiveness. There's mercy. The blood purchased our freedom from the hand of the enemy. But let me give you this. The blood prevents our fainting. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said in verse number 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. You want to know why, beloved? Listen, we got saved by the blood. You want to know why we're still in the race? You want to know why we haven't fainted? Because that same precious blood gives us the strength, amen, to go on. Allows us to be forgiven when we blow it, amen. Read 1 John chapter number 1. Thank God that precious blood didn't only get us in, but it's seeing us through the life that God has given us to live, amen. The Bible talks about it preventing our fainting. You say, preacher, in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You say, preacher, I don't see any goodness. Well, the Bible talks about believing to see it. A lot of people say, show me, and I'll believe it. God said, believe me, and I'll show you. I'll tell you, you'll never see more goodness than you'll see at Calvary. Right there is the goodness of God. Right there is the grace of God manifested to mankind. And beloved, it does not get any better than that. Amen. God said, I'll take your place. We see the blood prevents. It prevented our fainting. We would have done been gone, my friend, if it hadn't have been for the blood. And then look at this. The blood purchased our future. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 7. The Bible said, and He led them forth by the right way. By the way, if it's leading, it'll always be the right way. You say, preacher, I got in the wrong way once. That's because you didn't follow the right one. Amen. Because the Lord will never lead you astray. He'll never lead you in the wrong way. He'll always lead you in the right way. The blood purchased our future. Watch this now. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. I tell you what you're looking at this morning. You're looking at a country boy that's headed for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is the blood of Jesus that purchased, my friend, not only my forgiveness and not only my freedom, but thank God purchased my future this morning with Him in the city of God. Look at verse 36. The Bible said here, and there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Now it's summertime, and I couldn't help but think about this. You know what? most people do when they get ready to go on vacation. Brother Lance was telling me about some things Miss Amanda does. I won't go into any details right there. Amen. I'm not interested in that hole, Steve. You and Brian can have it. Amen. I'm not interested in digging a hole. Amen. But I tell you what everybody does before they go on vacation. They make some preparation. They're going to take a trip, Brother Ralph. So they make some preparation. They round some things up. They get some things in order. I dare say that Brother Brian and Sister Kim, they didn't just get in the car and get on the road and say, wonder where we'll stay. I guarantee you there was a room reserved somewhere ahead of time. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to take a trip. Thank God Almighty. There's been preparation made at Calvary. I've been prepared by Jesus to make that trip one day after a while. Amen. Well, the songwriter said, I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. Amen. I tell you, thank God, I'm not going to take an airplane ride. My son and his children and his wife, they got on an airplane the other day. 1 hour and 20 minutes, they sat down in Florida from Tri-Cities Airport. And my boy told me about little Bryson. That was his first time on an airplane. And he said, Dad, he was just absolutely thrilled. He loved it. Can I tell you something, Bryson? You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. You took an airplane ride. I'm fixing to take a plane air ride and go to be with Jesus one day soon. Amen. Because of the blood, the redemption that is through his blood. I just want to stop and say I'm satisfied. Hallelujah, amen. He satisfieth. I'm satisfied with the blood. Not only that, let me give you this morning. Not only am I satisfied with the redemption that's through the blood, but I found out something else in this chapter. I'm satisfied with the revelation that's in the Bible. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look in verse number 20 with me, please. The Bible said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Can I tell you, you say, preacher, how can you boldly proclaim that there's only one way to heaven? Because I boldly proclaim one book. It's the Bible, amen. The word of the living God. God said, my word is forever settled in heaven. I believe it's the word of God, the revelation in the Bible. I'm satisfied with that revelation that God has given us from Genesis to Revelation. It reveals his son. It reveals our sin. But thank God it reveals, my friend, how you and I can go and be with him one day after a while. And the revelation that's in the Bible. Let me give you a couple of things about that. Number one, this revelation heals the sinner. The Bible said he healed them. Let me tell you something right now. The Bible talks about you and I being dead in our trespasses and sin. If someone in this room were to fall over, Brother Gale, we would immediately draw our attention to that individual. Because we would understand there is an immediate, urgent need. Can I tell you a need that's more urgent than the physical need? It is the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the need of life itself. The Bible declares that you and I without Christ are dead in our trespasses and our sin. But thank God there's one come along. He has a balm. And my friend, he can heal the sin-sick soul. He can, my friend, give life and life eternal. Many years ago, I want you to listen to this. The power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God. Many years ago in Moscow, in a Moscow theater, a matinee idol, his name was Alexander Rostovtsev. He was converted while playing the role of Jesus in a sacrilegious play entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. You say, preacher, what were they trying to do? You know, just like our Hollywood's trying to do. They're trying to paint Jesus to be something or someone that he is not. They're trying to poke fun and mock the things of God. Here was the man that was the star in this play. He was supposed to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown and cry out, give me my tuxedo and top hat. But he read the words,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He began to tremble. Instead of following the script, he kept reading from Matthew chapter 5, ignoring the coughs, the calls, the foot stomping of his fellow actors. Finally, recalling a verse that he had learned in his childhood in a Russian Orthodox church, he cried, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And that man that set out to mock the Lord trusted him on that stage that day. Why? Because, praise God, this book has power. That's exactly why. I've said often, you get in this book, it'll help you. Amen. This book gets in you, it'll help you even more. Amen. It heals the sinner. Not only does the revelation that's in the Bible heal the sinner, but it honors the Savior. Look at verse 22. Let them that sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I believe, my friend, listen, when God reveals his will, he reveals his word, he reveals his way to an individual, I believe that individual will honor God with their life and honor God with their lips, honor God with their literature. They'll honor God because they understand, my friend, they don't belong to themselves, they belong to him that loved them. Heals the sinner. That person that understands and is satisfied with that revelation in the Bible honors the Savior. The Bible not only does that, but look with me at verse number 29. The Bible said, he maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are still. I thought about families right now in our church that are going through storms when God showed me this. Beloved, not only does the Word of God, that Bible, I'm satisfied with it. It'll heal the sinner. It'll honor the Savior, but it hushes the storm. You can be going through a storm, and all of a sudden the Lord step out on the bow of your ship and say, "Peace, be still." And I believe with all of my heart that's what the Word of God is teaching here. He maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are still. The Bible said here, they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired heaven. Haven, the Bible, or the songwriter said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wide stormy deep, but in Jesus, there's rest and peace evermore. Thank the Lord, he hushes the storm. Thank the Lord, he says, peace, be still. Then there's a relation that's among the brethren. I'm satisfied with the redemption that's through the blood. I'm satisfied with the revelation that's in the Bible. But I'm satisfied with the relation among the brethren. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here with me at verse 32. The Bible said, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. I want you to think about something this morning. Are you satisfied with the relation that you have with other believers? Are you satisfied that God picked you up out of nothing and put you in the greatest family that's ever walked the face of the earth? The family of God. Oh, beloved friend, let's look here. First of all, I want to say the brethren are fruitful. There's a relation among the brethren. The Bible said here in verse number 37, sow the fields, plant vineyards, that they may yield fruits of increase. Can I tell you, God is in the fruit-bearing business among his people. God wants you and I, even in our old age, to bear fruit to the glory of God. Amen. The brethren are fruitful. Secondly, the brethren are a family. Notice what the Bible said in verse 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Families like a flock. Can I tell you something right now? This has been said in this church. It's been said to me before I came to this church. Some people have told me through the years, that they're closer to the brethren than they are their own family on this earth. I want to tell you something right now. The family of God is precious. God said, I made my families like a flock. You know what a flock needs? They need a shepherd. They need protection. They need peace. They need provision. And my friend, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, will give us all of that as we follow him. Beloved, there's a family. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you get that? Did you get that? Daddy told me when I was a teenager, son, we don't have much. He said, but we have a good name. Can I tell you something, family? We got a good name. When we got saved by the grace of God, God put us in a family with a good name. The Bible tells us the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. The Bible said in Ephesians 3:18, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Watch this. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. The Bible said, he setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. I'm satisfied with the relation that is among the brethren. The brethren, I give you three things. They're fruitful. They're family. But let me give you this last thing. The brethren are forbearing. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me explain. Look at verse 43 with me. Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make some strong statements this morning. You want to know why believers end up at each other's throat? Because they don't understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know why somebody will buck up in their pride, amen, and they'll say, listen, listen, you're wrong and I'm right? Can I tell you something? Two believers not going to go very far down the road when they're at odds till they're both going to be wrong. Best thing that can happen in that situation is reconciliation quickly. Because they'll both end up wrong. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Watch this now. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Watch this. Forbearing one another. Watch this. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. If we understand the loving kindness of the Lord, we can forbear one another in love. The Bible said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You can say whatever you want to. That is a tall, tall, taller than mankind order. Only God can help us to do that. Love one another. Forbear one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let me say something to you. I don't know of one thing going on. I believe God sometimes just helps a pastor just to fire a shot, amen, that's preventive medicine. I didn't take a vitamin C this morning because I'm sick. I took a vitamin C. I'm trying to keep from getting sick. Amen. I'll tell you, beloved, listen to what the Bible said. Love one another. These things I command you, that you love one another. Colossians 3:13. forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Paul wasn't writing this to the barroom crowd. Paul was writing this to the bride of Christ. And you and I are being admonished by the Word of God to forbear one another. You're not always going to do exactly like I would do. And I'm not always going to do exactly like you would do. So I'll just go ahead and ask you to forgive me. Amen? And when I find out an individual instance where I need forgiveness, I don't mind to ask. Because the love of Christ means that much to me. Because unity means that much to me. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit means that much to me. And I believe it does you as well. Beloved, the brethren are forbearing. He said, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Who's wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The wise man is satisfied. He's satisfied with the blood. He's satisfied with the book. And he's satisfied with the bride of Christ. He's satisfied with the family that God has put him in. Amen. Let me just say this to you. You can watch this. Brother Gale been saved longer than I've been in the world. And Brother Gale, if you and I were to get into it, you know what? I believe you're mature enough and I believe I'm mature enough. We might be at odds and we'll make it. I believe you'll go on and serve God. I believe I'll go on and serve God. But I'll tell you, there's young people in this church, if they see you and I at odds with each other, they won't make it. Are you listening to me? It will destroy that younger one. It will destroy that weaker one. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, God is saying to us that if we wise, we'll understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We'll be satisfied with the bride of Christ. You ever meet anybody that thinks everybody in the world ought to be just like them? You ever meet anybody like that? Don't you feel sorry for that individual? I swear and pray you're not that individual. I know this. I don't want everybody in the world to be just like me. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. That's because you don't know me like I know me. Amen. Amen. The loving kindness of the Lord. The brethren are forbearing. Just a couple of things here quickly. The Bible said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. The Bible said, wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When the brethren are forbearing, look at verse 42. When the brethren are forbearing, listen to me. Look at verse 42. The Bible said here, the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. What about that? That's what God said. When we love one another the way we're supposed to, when we forgive one another the way we're supposed to, he said that just puts a clamp on iniquity. Iniquity has to shut up. Isn't that good? I like that. Amen. I'm satisfied with the blood. I'm satisfied with the book. And I'm satisfied with the bride of Christ that he has put me in, the greatest family that's ever been on the face of the earth. Someone said this not long before she died in 1988. In a moment of surprising candor on television, Margarita Lasky, a well-known secular humanist and novelist, she said this, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. She said, I have no one to forgive me. Can I tell you something? She did have someone that would have forgiven her. But she rejected him. See, you can't hold hands with Christianity and hold hands with secular humanism.
at the same time. It won't work. Let God be God and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's word is truth. Beloved friend, this morning, the Bible is teaching us right here that there's a God in heaven that wants to bless His people. Four times in the Bible, all four times, it's in this one chapter, Psalm 107. The Bible said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." Brother Steve, I don't know how many times I've read this chapter. I don't know how many times I've read that over and over. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men." I've seen that, it's not in this Bible, but in the Bible that I used for many, many years, it's fallen apart now. Those phrases are underlined. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." You know what I want to say this morning? If you're satisfied with the blood, and you're satisfied with the book, if you're satisfied with the bride, you know what you ought to do? You ought to praise the Lord. Because you know what the Bible said? Listen to what the Bible said. It said, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." There's nothing in this world that will satisfy the heart. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy the judgment of God. My friend, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Deanna did a tremendous job singing that song. Can I tell you, when it comes time for me to stand before God, God's not going to say, "Well, I'm satisfied because he tried to be a good husband. I'm satisfied because he tried to pastor a church. I'm satisfied because he read his Bible. Or I'm satisfied because he prayed." God's not going to say, "I'm satisfied because he gave." God's not going to say, "I'm satisfied because he tried to be a good papaw." Brother Johnny, there's not but one thing going to satisfy God in that day, and that's the blood of his darling son. I tell you what, if God's satisfied with the blood, I'm satisfied with the blood. And God said, "Don't add to this book. Don't take away from this book." If God's satisfied with this book, I'm satisfied with this book. If God's satisfied with his bride, I'm satisfied. She's made her robes white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, I think, Brother John, it kind of goes along with what you taught in Sunday school. You look around, the world's in a mess. But I tell you, right in the middle of that hurricane, there ought to be the believer and his God in the eye of the storm. Let the storm blow. But I tell you, I'm in Christ. And he's in me. And we're in the Father. And beloved, God will take care of his own. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be saved. While the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Would praise the Lord for his goodness. For his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." I heard this story one time. I don't know if it's true or not. I did have men ask me this question, but I didn't respond to it the same way that I heard that this pastor responded. But a man asked a pastor one time, he said, "When are you going to get off of that?" And the pastor had more boldness than I do.
He said, when you get it. I was teaching a series of messages on a Wednesday night. Not at this church. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to tell you what church. God knows where I was. God knows who it was. Said it to me. He said, when are you going to get off of that and get on to something else? I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, if it's coming out of that book, Brother John, I don't want you to get off of it. Just stay right on it. Because that's what I need. I need somebody to stay in that book. I need somebody to give me the Bible. That's the only thing that will satisfy the believer. Amen. Are you satisfied this morning? If you were to die this morning, are you satisfied that you would hear the Lord say, enter into the joys of the Lord? Are you satisfied that when He sees you this morning, He sees the blood of the Lamb? He sees you as worthy. Not like you are, but He sees you through Jesus, through His blood. I believe this morning, we ought to be satisfied with the bride. You say, preacher, you don't understand, preacher. There's so many people, they need so much work in their life. If you just said that, you're in trouble. The only person you got any business saying that about is that one you look in the mirror at. Amen. Forbearing one another. Loving one another. Amen. I'll tell you something this morning. We ought to be satisfied with the book, the blood, the bride. God picked me up out of a mess, Brother Gale. Cleaned me up. And by the way, He's still cleaning on me. That's what sanctification is. He cleaned me up for heaven once and for all when I was born again. But He's still cleaning on me down here. Still making me more and more and more like His Son. Are you satisfied this morning? Do you know Him? Do you know He's coming? Are you ready for His coming? Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful this morning for the Bible, the Word of God. For the psalmist that said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. For His wonderful works to the children of men. Maybe, Lord, the reason that some are not praising, maybe, Lord, they don't have anything to praise You for. Lord, I believe if we really understood Your loving kindness, we would understand that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I believe we could just thank You that we have an opportunity to be saved. We could thank You for the air we breathe. God, this morning I pray in Jesus' name, speak to hearts. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. There may be a believer here, Lord, at some distance. They're not praising You the way they once did. Not, my Lord, studying the way they once did. Not, Lord, praying the way they once did. Not faithful to the house of God the way they once were. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, You're so good to us. Thank You for Your goodness.